This is All About Living with Carol Colby. All About Living is brought to you by Gunderson Funeral Home Cremation Care, Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, Home Health United, The Medicine Shop Monona, Independent Living. All About Living with Carol Colby.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Carol Colby, and welcome again to All About Living here on WTDY 1670. This program, remember, is also available on carolcobyradio.com. Carol Colby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. So tune in at your convenience and pass the word along. We hope that you enjoyed the program today and that you will do just that, tell others about it. You might think we're going to have an eclectic program today because we're going to talk about wine, we're going to talk about the Chinese New Year, Tai Chi, getting together with people, forgetting things, but actually they all come together under one big umbrella topic, Alzheimer's disease. And how are they all related? Well, you'll find out when you meet our guests. I'm so pleased to have in the studio with me today two guests who know a lot about Alzheimer's disease and the areas that we just talked about, and including wine and Tai Chi. And with me is Jean Bockhuber. And Jean is Director of Memory Services for Oak Park Place in Madison. You have about five campuses, actually, Oak Park Place, but you are in charge of the training for all of those facilities. And you have quite a background yourself in Alzheimer's disease and health services. Let me tell just a little bit about you, Jean. You graduated from UW-Madison, and you have worked directly with cognitively impaired people for over 20 years. You were the director of the first memory care skilled unit in Madison, which opened up 14 years ago. And when you think of the impact of Alzheimer's disease and cognitive impairment today, 14 years ago wasn't that long ago for us to get our first establishment of a memory care unit. In 2004, you received the Wisconsin State Alzheimer's Professional Caregiver Award. And you're an active volunteer. You really support all efforts to serve the Alzheimer's community, whether it be people who've been diagnosed, the caregivers, the health providers who are all working together to try to find a cure or at least manage treatment and prevent the disease from ever occurring. Also joining Jean is a real favorite of mine, Jody Curley, and she is director of the Meeting of Minds, or coordinator of the Meeting of Minds program for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And when you talk with Jody, that's where the Tai Chi and the Chinese New Year and all of that come into play. Jody directs a wonderful program, Meeting of the Minds, which really encompasses the various aspects of a person's development, and it's the mental development, the creative, and the very disciplined analytical development of the brain and the management of it, and of course the importance of socialization and not isolating ourselves, that we are all social animals, and that's all part of the importance and the component of being a healthy individual. Alzheimer's disease is certainly at this point not only here to stay, but growing in rapid numbers. Already 5.3 million people have Alzheimer's, and that's expected to grow explosively. The critical aspect of it is from the year 2000 to 2006, Alzheimer's disease deaths have increased by 46%. Now, that's a huge increase just in its own right. But when you compare that statistic with the other major diseases that exist in our country today, such as stroke, prostate cancer, breast cancer, heart disease, HIV, the other diseases that are really the terminal diseases of our aging population, those are all decreasing in number. So we're decreasing in deaths from stroke, from heart disease, because we have found ways to treat them, to manage them, because you know we're getting a handle on them, not going away. But Alzheimer's disease is increasing by 46% at the same time. So it is critical that we are paying the attention to it, that we certainly are right now. Jean, Jody, let me throw this out to you. You both are working very, very closely with the Alzheimer's community right now, but you've been doing that for a lot of years, double-digit years. And Jody, you've been working with Alzheimer's for over 40 years. What have you seen, both of you, seen from the beginning days when you became associated with this disease and the people whom it impacts to today? How has it changed regarding the people who've been diagnosed, the caregivers, the health providers? Jody?
Where I would begin with my basis of comparison is when my grandmother developed symptoms, which in 1967, 1968, when this was happening, were not diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease, because at that time the diagnosis wasn't even used in typical diagnostic language. We were told that she had senile dementia, or she had hardening of the arteries, or she had cerebral arterial sclerosis, or organic brain syndrome. Those are just four of the labels that we were given.
And I grew up with that, hardening of the arteries.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what I heard all the time. And so,
or grandma's getting senile.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if we think back and recall people that was described that way, we should be thinking, well, that was actually Alzheimer's or some form of dementia.
Yeah, it was certainly a dementia. And when I look at the course of her illness, knowing what I know now, she really had a classic course of symptoms that would be diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease now. It wasn't vascular dementia. She didn't have high blood pressure. She had no stroke symptoms, but it was Alzheimer's. And she went to live in a nursing home, which didn't know how to manage the symptoms that went along with her illness. She made a trip to Mendota Mental Health Center for an evaluation of her medications, which was actually probably the single most helpful thing that happened in terms of getting some medical expertise on board and figuring out what could help manage the anxiety and the fearfulness that she was having. But she spent about 13 years of her life in a nursing home that I worked in as a nursing assistant in my early years, entering the system thinking that I wanted to change some of what my grandmother and my mother as her caregiver had gone through. So that's where I started. And when I look at what has changed, certainly we know a lot more about the disease process that has the overarching term of dementia, but really represents any number of specific diagnosed diseases: Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, mm-hmm. frontotemporal dementia. Probably in another 10 years, there will be more specifically named dementias than we speak about now.
I think that's important to repeat, that dementia is the umbrella term, and when you talk about Alzheimer's or any of these other forms, those are forms of dementia.
That's right. Dementia is the symptom, really. The mm-hmm. symptom is a progressing loss of mentation, dementia. But why? You know, what is it that's happening? So it's possible to get a much more skillful diagnosis. People are getting diagnosed earlier than ever before now because there's so much more awareness. There are some community-based programs like adult day centers that exist now that didn't exist when my grandmother could have benefited from one. There are ranges of care in residential settings. There are memory care specific assisted living facilities, for example. So there are more options for people to choose from. I personally still feel that we have a long way to go, however, to provide the quality of care that people, particularly in late stage dementia, deserve as their dementia progresses. And as a society, with the baby boomers coming along, mm-hmm. I think we're going to be challenged to give my generation what we want mm-hmm. in terms of the, you know, where's the gym so we can go walk? I mean, that's one of the things that facilities are going to have to be looking at.
And the facilities are now designating certain areas and training people to deal with dementia issues.
That's right.
And not just generalize people when they can no longer be alone for whatever reason. They all get pooled together.
There's a tremendous understanding now that actually people can learn how to give the kind of care that folks with dementia need, and that training programs can help make that happen.
That's a perfect segue to you, Jean, because that's exactly what you do. What did you do 20 years or 14 years ago when you set up the first memory loss clinic or care center here in Madison?
Well, it's very interesting. As Jody said, years ago, the diagnosis was senile dementia, hardening of the arteries. Therefore, the whole focus was getting people back into reality, doing reality orientation. If they forgot something, to help them remember it. But now we realize that just is very frustrating to a person with dementia, with Alzheimer's disease. I always equate it to, we don't ask a blind man to see or a deaf man to hear. Mm-hmm. Why would we ask somebody with Alzheimer's disease to be able to reason or remember? So we've gotten a little bit smarter over the years. So rather than the reality orientation that we did, you know, even 20 years ago, that mm-hmm. was considered to be what you do. We now do validation therapy. We meet the person wherever they're at. And that's what setting up the first Alzheimer's unit in a skilled facility, that's what I did, or that's what the company did. We looked at meeting the person wherever they were at, agreeing with them, not arguing with them. If the person felt that they were 20 years old and they had to go to school, college, or they had to go to work that day, we would just meet them and talk about their work, talk about their school, talk about their mother that they felt was still alive. In addition, we realized that having a structure to the day was so important. If you do not structure the day for a person who has Alzheimer's disease, they do nothing. They don't have the ability to think, gee, I'm bored, I'm going to pick up a magazine and I'm going to go through the magazine, or I'm going to watch a television program. They're not able to follow the television program. By the time the end of the program comes, they don't remember what the beginning is. So all kinds of activities that focus on what they have left versus what they've lost. Long-term memory is something that a person has for a very long time, so that's what we focus on. A lot of trivia, a lot of reminiscing, music events, intergenerational activities, so many things that they can still be engaged in. And as Jody said, what I've also seen is a change. There's so many more avenues open to people. The people that years ago were in skilled nursing facilities, they're now being cared for in assisted livings mm-hmm. or at home because of adult daycare or because of many other home health agencies that are available to people. So that's been a big switch, too.
Oak Park Place has 5 campuses, and the facilities that they have available for people as they move into their senior years vary. And you have some, independent housing and assisted living, but so it isn't all memory loss.
Correct. We have independent living for people who just want to have services available to them, such as maybe housekeeping services, meals provided, and all kinds of leisure activities provided to mm-hmm. them, things that they may not be able to get to if they lived at home alone. We also have assisted living, and within our assisted living, we also have memory care. Because, as I said earlier, the focus is much different in the care with a person with memory issues.
And that's a separate area
Correct.
For people who
Correct.
Have memory issues that mm-hmm. reside there. And do you physically have differences in that space versus your other spaces?
Absolutely. It's a secured unit. It's not a locked unit. I don't want people to think people are in prison and they never get outside. It's a secured unit so that we can monitor people if they do decide to wander around or they do want to go outside, that we can help them with that. Because obviously in this climate, it's very dangerous if a person with memory issues were to wander outside for any length of time. So it's a secured unit. We have a structured day. We have consistent staff. And we have staff that know how to do the validation therapy, know how to redirect people when they're having some behavior issues. And then we also have our skilled facility for people who have medical needs that could not be met at home or in an assisted living. And within our skilled facility, we also have a memory unit.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jean Bach-Huber, who is Director of Memory Services for Oak Park Place, and Jody Curley, Meeting of Minds Coordinator for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And we'll find out more ways in which people who have been diagnosed with the disease are being treated and managed successfully so that they have achieved a comfortable and contented level of living. And Then we'll also talk about how this impacts some of the family members and how we can all come to terms with it. You're listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. This segment of our program is brought to you by Turville Bay MRI and Radiation Oncology Center in Madison, where expertise with compassion is powerful medicine. We'll be right back.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670. WTDY.
We're back with our program today, and here in the studio are Jean Bock-Huber, who is Director of Memory Services for Oak Park Place, and Jody Curley, who is Meeting of Minds Coordinator with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And we're talking about Alzheimer's and how it's changed and what level of care and treatment and understanding is available for people today who have been diagnosed. One of the things that is happening, and it's a good thing, is people are being diagnosed earlier. Isn't that correct, Jody?
That is correct.
And why is that so valuable?
Well, the course of first of all, I would start with the fact that there are probably over 100 different causes of change in memory, and Alzheimer's disease or another kind of dementia are just some of those causes. So if somebody is noticing changes in their memory, getting a good evaluation of what's going on could actually reveal that it's a correctable problem. It could be due to thyroid hormone. It could be due to vitamin B12 level. It could be due to infection. It could be a tumor or a cyst that could be treated. So the basic assumption that, oh my goodness, I'm forgetting things, therefore I have Alzheimer's disease, may simply not be true. If it turns out that a person does have a progressing or a most likely progressing memory disorder, and I should mention that there are many folks being diagnosed with MCI or mild cognitive impairment, which is a change in memory that is mild enough that the changes do not fit into the diagnostic category for Alzheimer's disease, that might progress on to Alzheimer's, but really we don't know for sure.
And it may not.
It may not, exactly. So somebody could be diagnosed with that, or they could be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in an early stage or another kind of dementia in an early stage. When diagnosed at an early stage, first of all, I don't think there's anything more anxiety-producing than knowing that something's wrong and knowing that you need to go find out what it is and not doing it. So the first step is let's find out the truth so that we can start dealing with the implications of that and identify what are the physical and the physiological and the medical changes that might help. What are the family plans that we need to be making? What do I want to do with these years of my life that I have? Because people diagnosed in early stages of a dementia are generally very capable and very independent people. And can take a look at what they want the rest of their lives to be, which might be another 15 or 20 or 25 years. What do they want to do? What do they want their families to know about them? And what can they do to stay as healthy and as independent as long as possible? It's really empowering to get an early diagnosis.
Right. I was just going to say it's a sense of empowerment when you can maintain control.
There's nothing
more fearful or debilitating than having the sense of I'm losing control and you can't seem to get a grasp on it. And there can be changes or things that you can do you can change some of the things in your life that simplify it or make it easier to function and more joyful.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you are doing as a Meeting of the Minds coordinator is you've put together this program that really can maximize quality of life for people who have been diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment or have an early diagnosis of a progressing dementia. And I think it's one of the most unique and outstanding programs, and I just love to have you talk about it. So explain the Meeting of the Minds and what you're doing and how this relates to the Chinese New Year and Tai Chi.
Yes. Well, Meeting of Minds is one program that's offered by the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. there's some innovative programming that's coming out of the Alliance, and some of that innovative programming is addressing people in earlier stages of dementia. Meeting of Minds is a program that is targeted at people who have been diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment or the early stage of Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia or Lewy body or any other dementia that can be named. It's a series of meetings. We run 8 to 10 to 12 week sessions, depending upon how the scheduling works out in any given season. We meet for 2 hours at a time. We meet in places that are normal gathering places for older adults. The senior centers in our community have been very generous about hosting us. So currently, we're meeting once a week at the Middleton Senior Center and once a week at the Wanakee Senior Center. We've also met at the Monona Senior Center and the Fitchburg Senior Center in the past. We have a group of ideally about 8 to 12 people, although sometimes the group has swelled to as big as 18 people. My best evaluation of whether I'm meeting the needs of the people in the group is the fact that oftentimes people want to re-up once they do the program.
Yeah.
Repeat customers, absolutely. I think our youngest participant was 57 when he started, and our oldest was 93 when he started. So we're talking about more than one generation of people.
And what do you do? Tell me about Tai Chi and the other activities.
We try to do probably too much in 2 hours. The most important thing is laughter and relationship along the way, but we do some cognitive specific activities. Now, actually, anything we do is actually cognitive stimulation, including socialization. But we do some things that target the types of the cognitive realm as we think of it, such as puzzles together and word games and word scrambles and number games and Sudoku type of things. We'll do all of that kind of thing together.
Kind of the left brain activities.
That's right. We do physical activity in every group because there's actually more evidence to date that physical activity is beneficial for brain function than anything else that has been looked at specifically. So when the weather, I'm a big fan of walking. I'm a big fan of getting out into the natural world. And when the weather is good, we'll go outside and we'll walk together. When the weather isn't good, we do Tai Chi-based exercise together, which is very good for mature bodies because it uses the big muscle groups. We know that it's one of the most helpful practices for balance. It's friendly to joints, so people who have arthritis can typically do it. It can be adapted for special needs, and it's fluid and graceful, and it feels good. So we do that together.
I've taken some Tai Chi classes, and it's so beautiful to watch, especially if you're watching on a video Chinese people doing it in China in the early morning in the dawn. But it is difficult, and
it is spatially very challenging for people as well, because you're doing all kinds of really very sophisticated and subtle kinds of changes with your body and space. So it's really kind of a total body workout.
And there's something about moving across the midline and going from left to right.
That's right.
That really triggers the activity in the brain and is demanding on the brain.
That's right.
Explain that.
Not being an exercise physiologist or a neurologist, I can't get too specific about that other than it is, you know, certainly that helps to challenge the neurons and the neural synapses between the brain cells it ties into plasticity, brain plasticity, which in the last decade or so is probably the big news that we've learned about the brain. We once thought that once you're an adult, you have the brain cells that you have. If your brain is damaged, it can't be repaired, and there's only down and out from there. And now we know that actually even into older adulthood, the brain is very malleable, and it's possible to develop new pathways in the brain for information to travel to compensate for damage that may be there. So movement is one way to accomplish that. The other thing that I mentioned that we do is probably it would be more precise to say that the kind of movement we do is Qigong, which means breath practice or energy practice. Tai Chi is one kind of Qigong. And we're mindfully using the breath the whole time we're moving too. So we're breathing a comfortably full inhalation and exhalation synchronized with the kinds of movements we're doing, which affects physiology in a very beneficial way. And it actually counteracts anxiety. People feel much calmer and a sense of inner spaciousness and more in control of this uncontrollable universe we live in when we finish.
So one of the things with exercise is the benefit that they're considering, it seems to be there for people with dementia. Is it because it increases the blood flow to the brain? And
certainly.
It's another mechanism?
Certainly it increases blood flow to the brain. And there may be other, enzyme and chemical changes that happen in the body's metabolism itself that are also beneficial. So we do that. And then we also try to do something creative and, you might say more right brain, although the jury is even out on how the left brain and the right brain divides down the middle, but something more creative. We do some group poetry writing together. We do some singing together. We occasionally do some sort of informal dramatic play together in which we take different roles. We've had something I'm looking forward to, and I hope it happens, is there's a possibility of collaboration. Well, we've also already done some collaboration with the Madison Children's Museum, actually. Angela Johnson, who's the art program director there, came and did some art activity with our folks at the Middleton Senior Center. And there's the possibility next year that we might be taking Meeting of Minds to the Children's Museum.
Oh, would that be
for
wonderful.
A session or two.
Well, and it'd be so
and
good.
That's,
people could see. And
people could see. And sometimes a few of the people in our group, for example, the first symptom they're having of neurological change is language change, and they're losing their expressive language. Memory is still pretty good, actually, and these folks are really quite independent and capable, but they're losing their expressive language, and they're not able to say what they're thinking. So working with a medium in which something can be created to express oneself that doesn't involve words is a really wonderful thing. So I'm really looking forward to doing more of that.
Well, that's a wonderful program, one of many offered by the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And we should say before we go to break that to support services such as Meeting of the Minds and other services that benefit people impacted by dementia, there's the Wine and Roses annual event, the big festival coming up on April 9th at Blackhawk Country Club. And Jean, can you just briefly give us some idea of what's going to be going on and how people can find out more about it? And then we'll talk a little bit more about it after the break.
Well, as you, Carol, I've been to, this is the fourth annual, and they are so much fun. We have anywhere from 10 to 20 wineries from all over the United States with the actual winemakers present. So you're able to come and taste these delicious wines, all of the newest wines that are going to be out there. I'm hoping that the Wollersheim Winery has their new port for us to taste this year.
They probably will.
I'm sure they will.
Their ice wine, that is really popular now too, I understand.
Yeah. And there's silent auctions and there's a bidding auction. Last year, the big prize was a five-night trip to Buenos Aires to a famous winery there. There's going to be heavy hors d'oeuvres, dessert, coffee, and this year they're adding dancing. So it's a great time.
Maybe we can have a Tai Chi demonstration
yeah.
at that event. We'll check into that. Anyway, if people want information about the event and tickets, where would they go?
They can call the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance. And that number is 608-232-3400. It, as Carol said, is at the Nakoma Country Club on Saturday, April 9th.
Right. And the website is, Jody, the website for the
www.alzwisc.org.
ALZWISC.org. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with Jean and Jody after these messages from our sponsors. This segment has been brought to you by Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, the Life Celebration Center. This is All About Living on WTDY 1670.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670, WTDY.
Welcome back to the program. Today, our guests are Jody Curley, who is the Meeting of the Minds Coordinator for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. And joining her is Jean Bachhuber, who is Director of Memory Services for Oak Park Place in the Madison area. Actually, it's the greater Madison area because you have five campuses and providing residency for people independently, assisted living, and memory loss, and skilled nursing care. So you're
correct.
One of those continuing campuses that provide long-term care. Jean, you have been involved in memory services for over 20 years and have established memory services in the clinical or the housing residential setting. A lot of us, as we get older, we forget where things are. We get concerned that we're not functioning quite right. We make mistakes. And, you know, it's kind of in a kidding way, I think I'm getting Alzheimer's. What are the signs that there really is a problem versus something that's just normal life?
You are so right. It is such a concern when you walk into a room and you think, what in the world did I walk into this room to get? Or you look for your glasses only to find them on your head, you know, a few minutes later.
You must be following me around.
Yes, so
last night I had a cup of coffee and there was a bottle of water out on the counter, and then I thought, well, I need to put the water. I guess I walked in, I thought I need to put that in the refrigerator. And the next thing I know, I've got the refrigerator open and my cup of coffee is in the refrigerator. And I was just like everybody else. I thought, oh my God, I'm getting Alzheimer's. And I pulled it out and I put it in the microwave and heated it. But, you know, those things happen.
Absolutely. And it is so concerning, but there's so many things that cause people to forget, whether it be stress, fatigue, many, many things. But I think what people need to realize is Alzheimer's is more than just forgetting. It is a brain disease that interferes with not just memory, but also thinking and behavior. And I'll just give you some examples. Oftentimes, someone with Alzheimer's disease is going to repeat themselves the same story over and over and over again, or asking the same question. Normal aging is absolutely forgetting something, forgetting a name. You go to introduce your good friend that you've been friends with for 20 years, and all of a sudden her name escapes you. That happens.
And it does happen.
Absolutely.
It's so embarrassing.
People with Alzheimer's disease have difficulty actually following a recipe or using a telephone, a phone that they've used all the time. However, normal aging, we all have problem-solving issues. For example, missing a figure in a checkbook. I mean, that is normal aging. People with Alzheimer's disease have difficulty completing familiar tasks. For example, they might be driving and actually get lost in their own neighborhood. Normal aging, oftentimes we all forget where we're going, as we said, going into a room and forgetting what we were going in there for. People with Alzheimer's disease lose track of dates and times, how they got someplace. We all forget a date. People with Alzheimer's disease, as Jody was touching on, have problems with expressing themselves with words. They might call a wristwatch a hand clock, or a toothbrush, you know, that thing you hold in your hand and you put in your mouth, and that's the way they may refer to a toothbrush. Normal aging, we all forget an occasional word. People with Alzheimer's disease, now Carol, I'm not picking on you, put things in unusual places. For example, their watch in a sugar bowl. But normal aging, absolutely, we all misplace things. So as Jody mentioned earlier, I think if you are concerned, if you do see a lot of these signs, and the key point is if they are interfering with your life, it's so important to tell your doctor about it, to go and get a memory assessment from one of our wonderful clinics. There's one at UW and there's also one at St. Mary's, correct?
There's one through Dean, one at UW. If you're a veteran, there's a VA clinic that you're eligible for. And the other closest one to us is in Fort Atkinson.
And that's so important because, as Jody was saying earlier, it might be a vitamin deficiency, it might be depression, it might be a thyroid issue, it may not have anything to do with Alzheimer's disease. And I think people get so concerned, they feel as though there's something very wrong with them, that maybe it's because they weren't educated enough, they didn't read enough, that there's something wrong with them that they got Alzheimer's disease, and that's not the case.
The good news, from what I understand, and I've done quite a few programs on the health care reform, the Affordable Care Act, and I continue to follow it to see how the rules and regulations are unfolding. With the Medicare expanded benefits that are in the plan, the expanded benefits include an annual wellness exam, a physical exam that has never been annually covered in Medicare before, and a list of screenings, and they're actually customized to the individual. But from the latest information that's come out in it, cognitive impairment screening will be included in this annual exam. So you don't have to even say, oh, should I tell the doctor or should I ask the doctor about this? Because there is still, I suspect, a stigma to it, and people don't want to just say it out loud that maybe there's something wrong. But now this will be normally included, the same way they put that cup on you to check your blood pressure or your temperature or whether you can hit your knee and the leg flicks up or not. They will be doing a general cognitive testing through simple techniques to determine if there is an issue. So that will come up in normal conversation on an annual basis with your physician. And I think that's really, really good news. And we should do what we can to protect that. And am I correct on the social stigma still existing out there regarding?
I was just thinking about that one of the participants in our Meeting of Minds program, well, many of them report feeling that stigma when they decide who they're going to tell in their lives, what's going on and who they're not. One of our members lost his job, even though his physician verified that he was capable of continuing to work at his job, but once his employer knew about his diagnosis, he lost his job. And as another one of our participants said, I feel like as soon as I got this diagnosis, some of the people who know me expected me to fall into a vegetative coma and not be able to do anything ever again. He said, I think there's so much misunderstanding of what it means to have a diagnosis like this.
I think employers are beginning to look at this. They need to.
Yes.
Their employees either are showing signs that there may be some dementia, or their employees are family members of people who are having difficulties, who have been diagnosed. And so I think that they are turning to organizations such as the Alliance or people who have expertise to gain kind of a structure on how this should be handled. And it's a human resources issue, mm-hmm. too. Regarding the human resources issue, and do you work with employers? Do you get calls at all, either one of you, on how to handle this or to put on programs in businesses?
We are beginning to get a number of calls, and in fact, that's an area of development within the Alliance's programming. A couple of our staff members are going to be presenting at the State Conference on Alzheimer's Disease in May on how to offer services to employers that want to be able to better serve their employees who may be experiencing memory loss, as well as the care partners of those folks. So it's a growth area.
There's a family in Milwaukee that I know, and one of the women talked to me. She got a call from her husband's employer one day saying that there's something wrong. And she was noticing differences, but when you're noticing it in the home, every day is a new normal, and you kind of get used to it. And it was such a blow to her because she said, I'm a manicurist. I don't know how to deal with this. And she didn't know what to do or where to turn. And so she was beginning to seek out the resources in the Milwaukee area to help her. What do you suggest to family members, Jean, who encounter this, who are living this normal life? Families, both husband and wife are working, and suddenly it rises to the surface where something has to be done. How do you recommend that family members move forward?
Oftentimes it's children, and they come home to visit their parent during a vacation, during Christmas vacation, and when they're with their parent for over a period of time, they really see that there are problems. What we normally do is we refer them to the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance. They have wonderful social workers there, wonderful programs. We also have a support group that meets the third Thursday of every month at 6 o'clock with a light supper. I'm certainly welcome to meet with people on an individual basis, tell them about our services, or just various resources in the community. There's a wonderful senior resource book that's available listing all of the programs in Dane County, Columbia County, Sauk County, different home health agencies that can help out, different adult daycares. As Jody was saying earlier, too, there's live-in opportunities.
So what you're saying is the first step is to reach out
absolutely.
To somebody who has some expertise and can give you educated guidance on what the next step should be.
And just to chime in here to add to something Jean said, we also at the Alliance, when we're doing a care consultation with family, even if the diagnosis is recent, we understand that people have to take news that's challenging one step at a time, and we don't want to overwhelm people. But we recommend that people start thinking down the line when they're able to. If your loved one were not able to be at home, what would you do? If you need to be at home to provide safety for your loved one and you slip and fall on the ice and break your leg and you're in the hospital for a while, who would care for your loved one? We really recommend folks going out and looking at the options in terms of healthcare placement, residential placement, supportive living, early on so that there can be decisions made in something that's not a crisis environment.
Right, planning ahead.
Yes.
Instead of having it be crisis management and being reactive versus proactive. How would someone reach you, Jean?
We have a website, oakparkplace.com. We also have my telephone number is 608-663-8745. And I meet with families all of the time on an individual basis and help guide them. It's, as Jody was saying, what's really, her involvement is with early stage. My involvement is more with people who are getting to be in the middle stage of the dementia. You have your 85-year-old wife caring for her 87-year-old husband, and now he's not sleeping through the night, or he's having incontinence episodes. So she's at a crisis. There's no way that she can take care of him at home. So we also offer respite care just for people to have a month or so to figure out what they do want to do
and
to look at all
decisions.
Of the options.
Mm-hmm. We need to stop for a break right now. This segment of our program has been brought to you by Home Health United. You got a friend right here online at homehealthunited.org. I will put the contact information for Jean and Jody at Oak Park Place and the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance on the website carolcobyradio.com, where you can also hear this program. So remember that, Carol Coby, K-O-B-Y, radio.com. You're listening to All About Living on WTDY 1670 on your AM radio dial. And we'll be right back after these messages.
This is All About Living with Carol Colby, Madison 1670, WTDY.
We're back with our final few minutes with our guests. This has been just fascinating. I want to thank both of you, Jean Bock-Huber, Director of Memory Services for Oak Park Place, and Jody Curley, Meeting of Minds Coordinator with the Wisconsin, with the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. All of the work that you are doing with Alzheimer's and dementia and offering support to those who are impacted by the disease will be supported by attending the Wine and Roses event Saturday, April 9th at Nakoma Country Club. And Jean, tell us a little bit about that, because I know Oak Park Place is very involved. They're a major sponsor of the event, and you see what a critical need there is and a way for people to learn about the disease and have fun at the same time.
Again, there's going to be between 10 and 20 wineries there with the actual winemakers present, so you can ask them questions about their wine, sample all of their newest wines. There's a silent auction and a bidding auction with fabulous prizes many trips to the actual wineries so that you can have a day with the winemaker and have a tour through their winery. There's heavy hors d'oeuvres, delicious heavy hors d'oeuvres, dessert, coffee, and this year, dancing. So it is a great time and a great way to support Alzheimer's disease.
And it's 6 to 10 o'clock at Nakoma Country Club. Information is available at the Alzheimer's website, alzwisc.org. Is that correct, Jody? Mm-hmm. And then 608-232-3400. We'll have that information on. I just love to hear the winemakers when they describe the wine. It's like they're talking about a beautiful woman or a gown or something, or somebody who is, you know, very going through emotions. It's a little bit serene and yet sassy or whatever. It's just
fun to hear them
talk and how they describe the wines and the history of the wines and how they grow them. And they just really cherish them like members of their family. So it's truly fun. If you want to learn about wines from people who are really the experts in the field, this is the event where you'll see and meet actual winemakers. And it's the only one like that where the winemakers will actually be.
That's... I'd also like to interject that sometimes people assume that an organization like the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin receives federal funding or state funding, or actually all of the money that is needed to run the programs that we offer in a 9-county area is raised by us. And that money stays in Wisconsin, and it's events like Wine and Roses that make that possible to offer these local services. So we're really grateful to people like Jean and to Oak Park Place and to the other supporters of our fundraising events, because we could not meet the needs of our customers, our families and individuals diagnosed with dementia if this kind of thing didn't happen.
That's an important point. The money raised stays in Wisconsin. The programs and services are for the people in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And it's a growing number, Alzheimer's disease. We are almost out of time. Let me ask you just for a quick minute, go over some of the communication techniques that are so puzzling and uncomfortable for people when somebody has been diagnosed with a dementia.
People in the mid-stages who live at home, their loved ones have such a difficult time because they know what their loved one has been capable of, what all of their accomplishments have been throughout their life. So sometimes expectations can be a little bit troubling. Just a few hints, one question at a time. It takes a person 15 to 20 seconds to process a question. So when you say to somebody, "Good morning, are you hungry? What would you like to eat? What do you want to do today?" That's way too much information, way too many questions, one question at a time. Compliments work really well. Reduce any kind of distracting background noises. Don't shame the person. I just heard a family member the other day, "Shame on you. What's the matter with you? You know better than that." They don't. It's supportive care, meeting them wherever they're at.
That's about it. That's wonderful. It's keep it simple and keep some kind of structure and calmness to the environment, and they will have a better quality of life and be able to relate to you more, it sounds like. Thank you so much, Jean Bock-Huber, Jody Curley, for being here today. It has been truly enlightening. And if you want to learn more, go to carolcolbyradio.com, contact the Alzheimer's Alliance, Oak Park Place, and come to Wine and Roses Saturday, April 9th at Nakoma Country Club. You've been listening to All About Living here on Madison 1670 WTDY. I'm Carol Colby. Now go out and have a great rest of the weekend.